Hello, and we're about to get ready to get into the Word of God. And so as we continue our focus and our sermon series on drawing closer to God, we continue to focus on what we've been talking about for close to the last, 2 months, and that is the importance of our intake of the Word of God. And more specifically, we have been talking about we've been talking about the inductive Bible study approach or method and how we can use this in our everyday Bible study to help take our Bible study to the next level as we seek to draw closer to God. And so last week, we dealt with the second step, talked about the importance of interpretation. And so we're going to continue this week as we are now going to transition into the last step of the inductive Bible study method, and that is the step of, drum roll please, application. So let me do a quick recap. So in this three-step process this movement, okay, when it comes to the inductive Bible study method, remember step one is observation. In the observation stage, we're asking the question, what do I see? What do I see? Meaning, what do I see in the text, in the passage of scripture that I am examining, that I'm studying? What do I see? And remember, we said that there's a number of principles and questions that you want to ask of the text as you seek to engage the text. Some of the most powerful questions you can ask are questions that we learned in English class, right? Who, what, when, where, why, and a how. And then we also talked about when you're looking at the passage of scripture, what are some things that you want to look for as biblical detectives? Things that are repeated, things that are related, comparisons and things of that nature. And so from the step of observation, then you begin to transition to the movement of interpretation. And remember, we said into interpretation stage, you're asking the question, what does this mean? So you move from what do I see to what does this mean? What does this mean? That's when we go into interpretive mode. That's when we also begin to use secondary resources to help us get over those barriers that we talked about. Remember the barrier that we faced of language, because the Bible was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We also faced the barrier of culture. The Bible was written to a specific culture during a different time. Then we also talked about the barrier of the literary genre. Is this apocalyptic literature? Is this a parable? Is this narrative? Wisdom literature, poetry, all those different things of that nature. And so now we get to the final step in this three movement approach. And that is, as we just stated, how does this apply to my life? Now, I want to say this, you all, because this is extremely important. When we talk about application of the Word of God, that is applying the Word of God to our life, this is where the rubber meets the road. Do you hear what I'm saying? It means nothing to go through observation, interpretation, if you're not going to seek to apply the principles of God's word to every area of your life. And I'm going to also tell you this, you all, this is the most, and this is in my opinion, but I believe this is the case. This is the most difficult aspect when it comes to our studying of the Word of God, you all. Well, why would you say this is the most difficult aspect? Because think about it. When it comes to observation of the text, you're just reading. You're asking these questions. You're getting excited. And then when it comes to interpretation, you know, you're interpreting the Word of God. You're using secondary resources. Now, keep this in mind. Those two steps that I just mentioned, they don't really require you giving up a significant amount of things or making adjustments to your behavior. Now, if anything, of course, it requires you giving up time, because it takes time to study the Bible and to study it right. But when you talk about application, that is taking what you've read, excuse me, and applying it to your life, That is the most difficult aspect of studying scripture, because now you have to take what you have read and understood and apply it to your life. And if truth be told, that can be a significant challenge. See, you can read a Bible story about forgiveness. Come on now. You can read about Joseph and how his brothers sold him out and sold him into slavery. And he went through all these trials, ships, and these hardships. He was lied on by Potiphar's wife, who said that he made advances and took advantage of her. He was thrown into prison where he spent time, did not do anything wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Nothing wrong at all. And his brothers end up coming to Egypt once he was elevated and in a position of leadership. And eventually he revealed himself to his brothers. But when you read that story about Joseph, and when he first came, or when he was reunited with his brothers, he knew who they were, but they did not know who he was. But you see this man emotionally struggling with coming to grips with being able to forgive his brothers, but nonetheless, he forgave them and he told them that he forgave them. See, it's a different thing when you read about forgiveness in the Bible, when you're interpreting a passage of scripture and say, okay, so this passage of scripture is teaching me that I need to learn how to forgive. But it's a completely different ball game when you have to now take that which you have read and apply it to your own personal life and forgive somebody who has intentionally or unintentionally harmed you some years ago or just recently. Especially if that person was a close family member or if they was a close friend. So again, don't get it twisted. When we talk about application, it is not easy by any stretch of imagination. But at the same time, I don't want you to think that it is something that is a burden and it is something that cannot be done, because it can be done. What it takes is us being intentional about applying God's word to our life. And watch this, you all, surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit and asking God to touch our hearts as we yield to Him. And it's a beautiful thing, you all, when we take the word of God and apply it to our life. There's a passage of scripture as we are talking about how does this work when we talk about applying the word of God to our life that I want us to look at. It's found in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. That's what I want to go ahead and read right now. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. And here's what the word of the Lord says. It says, but be doers. I want y'all to listen to this now, you all. James says, but be doers of the word. That means put into action the principles, the commandments, the exhortations that you are reading in scripture. Put them into action. Apply them to your life. Verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, they are like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, they will be blessed in their doing. Such a powerful passage of scripture. In fact, one of my favorite. James is saying, listen, you can't just hear the word of God, because let's just be honest, you all. Let's just talk open and be candid. Many of us and many people, they hear the word of God on a daily basis or a weekly basis, whether it be they listen to one of their favorite preachers or teachers on YouTube, or they're watching some type of video clip on social media, or whether they are going to church in person. People, or whether you're listening to it on one of these audio Bible apps, you got a lot of people who hear the word of God. And they don't have no problem with listening to the word. You know why? Because see, to listen to the word, it takes more effort to apply the word of God to your life than to listen to the word. Think about that, you all. All you got to do is just hit play and you can listen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can listen to somebody preaching and teaching and you can be like, oh, that sounds good. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But there's a completely different ball game. James is saying, when you have to apply the word to your life. James said, listen, don't be doers of the word only. I'm sorry. Don't be hearers of the word only. But James says you have to be doers of the word of God. That is, seek to apply the word of God to every area of our life. Now, there's two illustrations, you all, that I love to use. And before I even use these illustrations, I can tell you right now, some of you all, especially I know my wife and my 16-year-old daughter, they're probably going to say, oh, I already know what dad, or I already know what my baby is going to do right now. I know an illustration. And you guess what, you all? I'm going to continue to use these two illustrations until Jesus comes back, because I think they're great illustrations. OK, when it comes to application. So I know as it relates to me. Many of you all don't know this, but I'm African-American. You can go ahead and laugh, okay? And so for me, one of the issues that I had growing up, and it's still an issue right now, but I found a solution to it, you all. Whenever I take a shower, when I get out of the shower and I dry off, I'll say in about 2 to 3 hours, my skin begins to dry up. And I become what we call ashy, okay? I like to say the ash monster done rolled up on me and took a bite out of crime. And so for me, I can sit here all day long and talk about how ashy I am. I can go out in public, watch this, and some people who look at my legs might be like, oh my goodness, boy, ooh, he got some dry skin. Why he ain't putting no lotion on? And I ain't trying to have nobody embarrass me or talk bad about my ashness. So for me, what I do is I make sure I put on some lotion. Do you hear me? Some lotion. Because the lotion, watch this, you all. Once I apply the lotion to the areas of my body, and for me, it's always my legs and my hands and my elbows, then I don't have to worry about that dry skin anymore. And I'm going to tell you, my skin be shining. I be glistening, looking like I done put Crisco all on me. You hear what I'm saying? But that's because I have applied the lotion to the areas of my body that are ashy. And what I'm saying is that many of us, spiritually speaking, we fail to apply the word of God to every area of our life. As a result, when we go out in public and we're around people, and especially those who know us, they begin to say, hold on now, you're ashy, spiritually speaking, because they can visibly see, they can sense by how we talk to people, how we treat people, our mannerisms. But when we apply the word of God to our life, people can also see that as well. So again, application is important, extremely important. Then the other illustration I like to use when it comes to application is this. I remember when I was younger, my mother, she would be in her bathroom in the mirror and she would be putting a perm in her head. Okay, I will be wailing in my room. And that those chemicals from the perm, the one that she used, will be so strong. And I'm gonna be honest with you, it's just an odious smell. So strong, I have to open up my window. I'll be like, oh man, mama got the whole house stank up in here with this perm she put in her hair. And then my mom, without fail, would call me. She would say, baby, come on in here. And I always knew why she was calling me. She was calling me because when my mom told me to come in the room, she would say, baby. And when I would walk in the room, mom would have that long black little rat tail comb that you use to apply the chemicals. And her whole head would be white. And she would have those gloves on that she would, you know, put her hand in the chemicals. And my mom would say, baby, look at the back of my head. Can you tell me, did mama get everything? And why the reason she was asking me this is because the purpose of the perm and what my mom was trying to do is straightens out your hair. OK, Now, the reason my mom wanted me to look at the back of her head is because mom could look in the mirror and she could see the sides of her hair. She could see the top part, but the back part, an area that's a little bit more difficult to get to, and for her to be able to see, she would call and ask me to assist her. And the reason she did this, you all, is because if she put on those chemicals on most of the part of her hair and she missed a patch, then she could risk going out in public and everybody being able to see her hair looks nice and straightened, but then she got a rough patch back there in the back that she missed. What point are you trying to make, Kiwan? Spiritually speaking, when we fail to apply the word of God to areas in our life that need to be straightened out, when we miss an area, people can easily see that. But when we apply the word of God to certain areas of our life, people are also able to see that as well. So again, applying the word of God to our life is extremely important, extremely important. I want us to go ahead and look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. Because when it comes to answering the question of how does this apply to my life, we have to go to the word of God, you all, and look at what the scripture says about itself. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. And here's what the word of God says. It says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Okay, about to tell you. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Okay, I want to break down this particular verse as it relates to what Paul is telling Timothy in respects to the profitability of the word of God. Okay? 2 Timothy 3 and 16. Notice he said, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for what? For teaching, you all. This is one of the most important aspects of scripture that we are taught. What does God say, or thus saith the Lord, regarding specific subject matters? And what God has to say in the word on any subject matter, you all, is always true, because he is the great I am that I am. So again, the word of God is profitable for teaching. We have to be able to take the word of God and teach people how to live this Christ-centered life that Jesus wants us to live. We got to be able to take the word of God and teach people how. Teach husbands how to honor their wives. Teach wives how to honor their husbands. Teach children how to respect their parents. We got to be able to take the word of God, apply it to our own life, and we have to be able to share with others how to live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to God. And the Bible allows us to do that through teaching. So it's profitable through teaching. And it's also profitable, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, for reproof. For reproof. What does reproof mean? Reproof, exposing those areas in our thinking or our behavior that do not line up with the word of God. Got any of those things going on in your life, or ever had any thinking or behavior that did not line up with the word of God? That's one of the benefits of scripture, you all, for reproof. That we will be able to look at the word of God as we're reading it and come to the conclusion through deducing from scripture, man, I'm not living a life that's pleasing to God. That's where the reproof comes in. The word of God exposes the areas in our life that we need to address and we need to change through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we need to bring in line with God so we can walk in the righteousness that God has called us to walk in, because God says, "You be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And to be holy means to be separated from. So the word of God is profitable, you all, for teaching doctrine, what thus saith the Lord, is profitable for exposing those erroneous behaviors in our life and thinking that does not line up with the word of God, so that we can do what, you all? So that it will lead to correction. And that's another thing it says right here. It says all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction. Correction means application, you all. Once we see the thing that does not line up with God's word in terms of our thinking and our behavior, then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to correct those areas in our life that we know don't line up with the word of God. And we can't do it on our own, you all. We have to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We got to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some other principles when it comes to us asking the question during the application stage of what does this mean or not mean, but how does this apply to my life? You want to ask these questions, you all. How does the meaning of this passage apply to me? See, so many times, if you don't be careful, you can do Bible study. And in your Bible study, you've gone through observation, interpretation. You get the application and you worried about somebody else. Oh, you know what? This person right here, they need to read this scripture. I need to go share with them what I gleaned from this passage, because they need to know. You don't need to be envious of people. They need to know. You don't need to be covetous. Hold on 1 second. Before you try to get the beam out of your brother eye or the speck out of your brother eye, you need to get the log or the beam out of your own eye. Hello, somebody. What you talking about, Kiwan? What I'm talking about is, before you go trying to apply the word of God to somebody else's life, first see, how does this passage apply to me? How does this passage of scripture apply to me? What does God want me to change? What does God want me to adjust? That's the first thing that we want to do. Then we want to ask this question of the passage of scripture. What truths am I to embrace, believe, or order my life by? So when we're talking about application, you want to be able to say, okay, what truths am I to embrace, believe, or order my life by when you're looking at a passage of scripture and you find yourself in the application stage? So important, so critical. Again, you all, application is important, but again, it's challenging. And I want to share I want us to look at a brief story in scripture. I want to show you how application, can be extremely challenging for a lot of people, to the point where some people will say, you know what? It's too much. It's too much for me to sacrifice to apply the word of God to my life because of what it requires for me to give up. Because of what it requires for me to give up. Y'all bear with me. I had this pulled up, this particular passage of scripture. A very familiar story that many of us are familiar with. And it can be found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. Listen to the word of the Lord. And he was setting out, being Jesus, on his journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I've done, or I have kept from my youth." Oh, I'm starting to back up. And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." So the man tell Jesus, "I've done all these things that you've asked me to do." So he's probably saying to himself, "You know what? I'm doing good." Listen to what Jesus said. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Now look at the response of the young man, who we know as the rich young ruler. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Woo-wee! Listen, you all, you think I'm playing when I say application can be challenging? Many people have fallen to the wayside and no longer follow Christ to this day because of application, because they came to a situation, or they came to an instant in their life where they became known through the word of God. The word of God taught on a specific subject what they needed to do, in order to line up with the word of God, and they refused to apply to their life. As a result, they said, "I can't follow him." This is what this young man did. Jesus told him, excuse me, what he needed to do in order to inherit eternal life. You can't put a price tag on eternal life. It's invaluable. Jesus told this man, "Take everything that you have, sell it, and then you give everything, give all that money to the poor. Then he said, come and follow me and you will have riches, or have treasure in heaven." And the Bible says the man dropped his head and went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He was not willing in this particular instance to apply what Jesus told him to his life. As a result, he missed out on the greatest blessing that he could have had, and that is treasure in heaven. Jesus once said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what can one give in exchange for a soul?" I'm telling you right now, you all, when it comes to application, we have to be willing to make the sacrifice to apply the kingdom principles from God's word to every area of our life, and to ask the Holy Spirit to help us do just that. And so that's what we're going to be talking about next week as we continue to talk about the importance in step 3 in the inductive Bible study method on application, that is, applying the word of God to our life. We'll continue next week. God bless you. And we pray and hope that you receive something from our time here this evening. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to look into the storehouse and see the treasures that are contained within your word. Lord God, we pray and hope that something was said to encourage someone to draw a little closer to you. We ask all these blessings in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.